This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
The club isn't the best place to find the lovers, so the bar is where I go. Me and my friends at the table doing shots, tripping fast, and then we talk slow. And you come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Well, I'm in love with your body.
I gotta tell you, I'm in love with your shape. You said the mother brothers couldn't really juggle your weight, and you were shy in the beginning, used to cover your face. You got that sweet, sweet love, and I'm a sucker for cake. I know, girl, you got a body they will kill for. Loving through whatever, who you trying to skip a meal for? Girl, you're too precious, why you trying to split the bill for? I ain't even guessing, they should have you up on billboards. That's all talking, you can go to work and let me pick up the slack. And when you finish what you're doing, we'll be kicking it back. We can listen to my tunes until you're sick of my raps. And I got money in the bank, but not a figure like that. You got me looking at your shape, man, I've already won. Tryna come and kill the game like my brother Teddy done. I ain't even tryna play it cool, cause this is bigger than my pride. Let me multiply your loving and I hit you with the vibe, eh? Shit.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body. 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 Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you. Come on, be my baby. Come on.
Pour out my liquor, there's not a flaw in your figure, I'm so impressed.
Come on, be my baby.
And baby, you can call me, it's quicker, I don't be talking on Twitter, girl, that's dead.
Come on, be my baby.
Girl, stop curving the question, I'll turn your curse to a blessing, that's overnight.
Come on, be my baby.
And weigh up your options and spend the day with a problem, I do you right.
I'm in love with the shape of you. You push and pull like a magnet, but when my heart is falling too, I'm in love with your body. You were in my room, and now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body.
Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby.
I'm in love with your body. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with the shape of you.
Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Oh man.
The king is back.
I'm back, and you can tell I'm back because Ed Sheeran and Stormzy straight away decide to roll. I'm saving you with the music. I'm back.
He's coming. He's messed up my whole music system.
I did. I sent an email and I was like, fuck that, man. We've got to play these tracks, and he messed up our whole routine.
Well, we're going to be playing a lot of Stormzy today because he's just dropped his album.
Just dropped the album, man. Gang Signs and Prayer.
And we're huge fans of him because he was in Brotherhood with us.
Yeah, well, we're fans anyway. But
fans, yeah, I'll be a fan anyway.
He was in Brotherhood with us. The album's it's fire, as the young people say. It's fire.
He is so cool. And I really respect him because he was talking at the Brits and he was talking about his girlfriend, who is also sort of in the spotlight, but they stay pretty separate. And some people, I think, are thinking, oh, your girlfriend's just your girlfriend because you're Stormzy. And he's like, no, I was with her when I was nothing.
Yeah.
And she used to buy me dinner when I had no money.
That's what I'm talking about, man. She's been around for a while, man. She does her own thing too.
Yeah, exactly. And she's not interested in being known as Stormzy's girlfriend.
No,
so
she's
huge
got her
respect
own thing
to
going on. Respect to both of them.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, right, this is Background Chill, Johanna James and Noel Clark.
Yes.
We're speaking to some pretty cool people today. We've got Quinton Aaron. He's going to be talking to us about his new movie. He's the guy from The Blind Side. Remember that movie a couple of years ago? Oscar winner, I think.
No.
Oscar nominated.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, Wikipedia's wrong.
Well, we're going to check that before
we need to check that before we speak to him. We've got... Oh, the film was won. The film won.
That's right. I knew that.
Oh, that's good. That would be embarrassing.
And I think Sandra Bullock won as well.
Oh, yeah. I think she did.
But he didn't win.
Oh, that's a shame. Next time, Quentin. And we've also got Lucy Patterson back in at 5:30. Going to give us the reviews on what to see, what's not, what's hot and what's shit.
Yeah.
Essentially. And loads of entertainment news. I've been doing all my research about what's coming up this year. This is a huge year for film. I love 2017. So excited.
It's an odd number. I'm not a fan of odd numbers, but so far it's looking good.
Oh, you don't like odd number years?
No, I don't really. I don't really like odd number years.
I don't really mind. I still think, in my head, I still think it's like 2012.
Yeah, also, we do have a competition.
We do, because every week this year, we've been running a competition on our Twitter, which is at FUBAR Radio, and we've been giving away...
Cool stuff!
We've given away movie, DVDs, signed posters and whatnot.
Brotherhood stuff signed by me.
Signed by Noel. We've got a poster, the soundtrack, and the DVD.
And Blu-rays.
We have a competition winner, so congrats to... Laura Atkin from Scunthorpe.
Yes.
She's super excited. She said that we made her rubbish week fantastic. Unfortunately, she can't be on the phone with us today. If you win, we'd like to get you on the show, but never mind.
Why the fuck are you not on the phone? How can I come back to the show? And you got like a sexy name too, Laura. What was it?
Laura Atkin,
sexy name, like I can just Laura Atkin. And now you're not even on the phone to talk to me. What the fuck is going on?
Oh, well, we made a week though, so we're going to be sending out all the Brotherhood stuff to you. So
I'm changing my mind. I don't know if Laura should get it now that I'm here and she's not here to talk to me.
No, we've already, you can't change the rules. You can't take it back.
Laura, take note, man. Next time you win something, make sure you're on the phone. I wanted to speak to you. But cool. All right. It's on your way to you.
Well, okay. So if you missed out, fear not. We have another competition starting
right now.
We're going to be giving away. We're giving away the screenplay and the soundtrack.
Shut up.
Trainspotting 2, which is so far my favourite film this year.
Wow.
It was my favourite one.
Wow. Trainspotting 2.
The soundtrack is immense.
So listen, guys. Let me tell you something. The screenplay... It's published by Faber and Faber. Now, Faber and Faber publish screenplays, as I've just said. I taught myself to write. I've said this many times. I taught myself to write with screenplays published by Faber and Faber. So you guys who want to be writers and are actors and stuff like that should get this, win this competition, tweet in, whoever the fuck you need to do. I'm never sure what you need to do for this competition because I don't actually control him. I just turn up at the show and do things. Johanna does everything. And then read the screenplays and learn how to write. If you want to be right, learn how to format, because that's what I did. And I'm sitting here now with my own radio show with Johanna James, bitch.
Whoa, bitch. So if you want to win all the T2 train spotting gear, then go to @FooBarRadio on Twitter and just make sure you're following us and then retweet the tweet we're about to put out.
Yes.
And we're just going to pick a winner. And next week we will pick you and then call you.
And you better be the fuck on the phone.
And you better be on the
Laura
phone.
Laura Atkin.
So yeah, go now and you've got, we're not going to, how long are we going to run it until they've got that? Like a day? A week! Oh my gosh, there's so much time in the world. You've got no excuse.
Yeah,
so
you can even chill and not do it today and just be like, I'm just going to chill today. I'm going to win
chill
that shit
today,
tomorrow.
Do it over the weekend, whenever. Like, get drunk and do it tonight. Like, tweet us like 10 times and not realise. That's cool.
Boom.
That's cool of us.
I'm all over that.
Brilliant. So that, yeah, but honestly, Trainspotting 2, if you haven't seen it, I don't know if it's still out in the cinema, but
it's
that
still
was,
out in the cinema. It's T2, man. Yeah.
That was.
Not to be confused with Terminator 2, by the way.
No, not that film.
Yeah, T2.
It was one of my. I love that film. And I love the soundtrack.
Terminator 2 or Trainspotting 2?
I actually love both of them, but Trainspotting 2.
Yes.
Was so far of 2017. We're only just in.
We're just in.
We're easing
just
in.
Just the tip.
Just the tips in.
Just the tips. That's how you like it, innit, Joe? Have you missed me? How's your mum?
I've missed
you. How's your mum?
My mum's good.
Just the tips in.
She missed you too, babe.
I bet she does.
Right. Do you want to go? Let's do a little bit of a song.
Let's do a bit of a song.
And then we're going to come back with some entertainment news. What the fuck is happening in the entertainment?
Film shit when we get back.
So I think I'm going to go for a bit of Jackson 5 from the Guardians of Galaxy soundtrack.
Christ. Okay, I can live with that.
Come on. Is that want you back? This is great.
Was he still black at the time?
Yes, I think he was still black.
Great.
Cute. Jackson 5.
I love that.
Guardians of the Galaxy. No, Michael Jackson's kids, she's like modelling for Chanel now. She's like proper grown up young lady.
Oh, I bet she did it all by herself as well.
Paris Jackson. She's beautiful. And
a nice name.
She's called Paris. She's got a semi-normal name. And then his other sons are called Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson Jr. and Prince Michael Jackson.
And Prince Michael Jackson, yeah. A.K.A. Blanket.
Blanket! Yeah. He's older now. He's like 15 odd or something.
I don't know, mate. It's so strange, isn't it, that they're all grown up. I remember when they were born.
It's like you were there. I was there at the birth.
I was.
You weren't dangling them out of windows or anything?
No.
No, I remember that. I remember that on the news.
It wasn't that big a deal, though.
I remember thinking my dad had done something. My dad would do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the press tried to crucify the poor man. It wasn't that big a deal. He had a tight hold of his kids.
Yeah, you can hold a... My dad all the time, like, put me on his shoulders and walk through doors and smack my head on the
door. Oh, man, that explains everything.
I know.
I'm now starting to understand it all, man.
Dad dropped me everywhere. Dad dropped me everywhere. Oh, I've just been told that we have our first guest. We've got Quentin Aaron.
Don't lie, my G.
He is on the phone, so let's see if we can get him. Does technology... Quentin!
how are you?
Hello!
Quentin, my G. What's happening, brother?
What's going on, man? What's going on? How are you? Big fan.
Good. What? You of me? Shut up, man. I'm a big fan. Come on.
We're big fans of you.
Yeah. For real.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So what's happening? How's the treating you in Glasgow? Because that shit be cold, you know. Just us black people, we have to be careful of the cold because they be trying to kill us in Scotland. So just, you know, talk to me.
You know what's funny though? I'm a rarity. Like, I'm probably the only black person I know that loves the cold. I'm enjoying this weather right now.
Now, G, we're about to fall out. I'm about to get on the train and come up there and knock some sense into you. How can you be talking that you like the cold? Like, what's happened to you, bro?
I'm from New York.
All right. Yeah, I know it can be cold in New York too. It can be cold, but you get them good summers, though. You get those good summers.
Exactly.
So we're here to talk about your new film, which is called Halfway.
Yes.
And people might have known you before. They'll definitely know you before from The Blind Side.
Boom. Yes.
And so we just want to talk a little bit about Halfway, the new film, because it's not out yet. It's in the Glasgow Film Festival.
Yes.
Currently.
But we're actors, so we know it's new to the world. But you shot this a year ago? A year and a half ago?
About almost 2.5 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Sometimes films take a while.
It's in the pipeline.
Yeah. You know, all right. Yeah. So tell us about the movie, and then we can let's talk about it, because I enjoyed it myself. I really liked it. I've watched all of that. I'm a big fan of how you got up with them cows, because I don't be dealing with animals, man. Especially animals that can't train, like dogs and stuff like that, and cows.
Cows.
When that cow was sucking your fingers, I was like, oh, he's gonna lose his hand or something. But all right, tell me about the movie. Let's talk about the movie. Tell me about the movie.
Yeah. No problem. It's Halfway. So it's basically a film that came about from a director who's actually from London.
Yeah,
cool. Ben Carrick.
That's
he
right.
wrote it, and it was originally about, you know, a young British kid who was a fish out of water, you know, coming into Wisconsin to live on his family farm. But he wanted to change that aspect of it and make it more relatable to, you know, today's society and the social injustice, what's going on in the, you know, jail system, prison system, and today with minorities going to prison for repeated crimes and stuff. So, you know, about the recidivism issue. And so Halfway kind of speaks on that, and in the sense where, you know, it takes the story of Byron, who was recently released from prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, it follows his life through his, you know, life on the farm.
Yeah.
He's the fish out of water, you know, in a sense where he's doing his probation out on the family farm, and it's totally outside of his element.
Yeah, and it's his step, it's his stepbrother's farm, right? Stepbrother and
farm. Exactly. His stepbrother, who got him out of prison, you know, as the favor he had to return.
Yeah, sure.
You know, by doing, you
Working
know, his due diligence on the farm. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's a story about choices. I like, you know, to put it in that sense, because, you know, when we get out of everything we do in life is based off the choices that we make.
That's right.
And Byron was presented with the opportunity to either make a better man of himself or, you know, go back into his usual ways and possibly land back in prison.
It's a beautiful film. Like, I watched the whole thing, and, you know, it was a real subtle movie. Like, it wasn't, you know, today's movies is like you sit down, you put on your mad glasses and it's explosions and everything. So it's always good to see.
Exactly.
It's always good to see a character driven movie. And I mean, I got to tell you, man, like, I've seen a few of your things, and obviously everyone's like Blind Side, but this performance was good. I'm talking like they're all like, "Case Manchester by the Sea," but your subtle performance in this was some good shit, brother. I got to tell you, like,
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Was good. And I think you're right, it is about choices, but it was interesting for me to see that, you know, the director chose to go that way, because it added a new dynamic. Like, when you meet the old man from the other farm.
That was my favorite.
You know, without giving too much away to the audience, but this
he was awesome.
Yeah.
Jeffrey DeMond is an amazing, you know, amazing actor, amazing talent, and just a really cool guy, you know.
He was
fun to be around on set, and he's one of my favorite characters to work
but
with.
It speaks about also the, you know, you have the young guys being overtly racist to your character or being quite rude, but then even the guy that is really supportive and really friendly has that sort of ignorant racism, not in a bad way, but like he's calling you coloured when he doesn't know that it's not acceptable anymore. And it's like, it speaks about society, about the way people are treated, and even if it's not intentionally, and how there needs to be more awareness about this whole thing. And I thought it was a really, really good by the director and writer.
Because your character, Byron, he's the only black farmer in the area. Or becomes the only black farmer, and I've got to say, you're becoming like the king of living with
white people,
living with white family.
You're the king, Byron, the king of living with white folks.
Like, again, he's got another.
Too funny. So you know, I accept that.
Yeah.
I like to think I can get along with anyone.
Yeah.
People, person.
Maybe that's like your film niche. Like every family in your film, they're just all white.
You, man, you got to just be like up in the white people's house, living the good. Listen, talk to me about these cows, bro. You got to talk to me about these cows.
Oh man, the cows are awesome. It's funny because when they were teaching me how to milk them, they said you have to talk to them. You have to walk up, you talk to them, and rub their behind. So I was like, okay, so it's
like a woman,
pretty much like you. Yeah, exactly.
That's how my wife do me, bro. That's how my wife do me. She milk it and she rub my behind and talk to me in my ears.
pretty much.
Sorry, carry on.
It was awesome, man. It was definitely an experience. The calves were, you know, they were hilarious, man. Yeah. The way they just suck on your finger. It was funny, the first day one of them almost took my ring. I was like, whoa, I'm going to need that back.
That's what I'm talking about, man. And the baby one that got out was cute. I was like, how is he touching these cows, right? Man? And then the one that got out, I was like, okay, that one's cute. You know, I could live with that. And then he started sucking your finger. I mean, just for the audience note, obviously the film's not about cows, but it's a really touching movie about this character who comes out on parole and ends up on his brother's farm, stepbrother's farm, and then, of course, realizes that the stepbrother is not as genuine as we believed, but we don't want to give too much away. But, I mean, I really want our listeners and everyone to go see this film and take a watch of it. I want to tell you, my brother, that you were brilliant in the movie. And again, once again, you know, subverting and defying people's expectations of what we're supposed to do. Man, I loved it.
Appreciate that. Thank you, man. Definitely.
And how long are you going to be over in the UK?
You know what? I will be here. I'm going to a game tomorrow. I'm going to a football game tomorrow.
Who you seeing?
Who's playing?
Here in Glasgow. And Sunday, I will be going down to London for a few days.
Negro, listen. We're in London, boy. You better come check me.
We're in London.
What are you going to do down in London? What are you doing down here? You got friends down here?
Okay. You know what? I have some friends flying into the States that will be... You know, I'll be hanging out with down there. So, yeah, definitely. I'll be around. Definitely.
All right. I'm
filming up on social media.
Dude, yeah, I'm going to. The radio station's already tweeted you and tagged me in it and stuff like that. But I'm going to holler you
because
I'm filming on Monday. But, like, if you're not doing that and you want to come to sit or whatever, like, just come down and whatever. Or I'll holler you anyway.
Awesome. Thank you. Definitely.
All right, my bro.
I love how this has just turned into a casual team.
Well, we're brothers, man. This is how we got black people have to stick together, man. Because you whitey's always trying to kill us and shit. And like, that's what we, you know, we're brothers. You feel me, bro? Right? I know you feel me. I know you have to.
Yeah,
you
got
to
be
PC. You got to be PC. I don't have to be PC. It's my show. I say what the fuck I want.
I feel you.
Well, thank you so much, Quinton. We'll let you go back to your chilly Glasgow.
Guys, everybody, make sure they watch
Halfway.
It's out. It's Quinton Aaron. British director, and it's a great, great movie with no explosions and a crazy cow. Check it out.
Crazy cow. Right, have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
All right, love, bro. Bye bye.
He's so chilled. I love that. Like, he could just be like at the Oscars or something. And he would just be like,
just chilled.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, he could win. He'd win an Oscar. He'd be like, they'd be like, Quinton Aaron. He'd be like, yo.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that was nice.
So the Oscars are this weekend.
Oh yeah, they are.
Sunday. I've lost my ticket again every year. I lose my Oscar ticket.
I bet you do.
But one day I'll go. But
did you put it in the thing to cure the? No, let's not talk about that on here.
I put it in my pocket and then I put my jacket in the wash. Okay. So the Oscars are this weekend.
Yeah.
It's like the, you know, this is like the crowning glory of all the awards that we've been having.
Of all awards, yeah.
The Academy Awards, because
Academy,
you know what?
Awards.
It wasn't called the Oscars for a long time. It was dubbed the Oscars.
Yeah, that's a nickname.
Later on, yeah.
It's the Academy Awards, yeah.
Because I did a little bit of research about the Oscars.
Why is it called Oscar? Why is it called Oscar?
Well, that's the thing. There's a little theories about why. Apparently, there was somebody who was on the committee had an Uncle Oscar, and she said, "Oh, the statue looks like my Uncle Oscar." There was another theory.
Was he dead? Like, just like stiff as a board, like laying down?
I don't know. Apparently, he just looked like a 14-inch gold statue. There was the other theory is that somebody else who won an Oscar, her husband was called Oscar, so she called it a little Oscar in honour of him, or thanks
stuck.
For the little yeah, I don't know. So no one really knows how it came about.
Does anybody know the real story?
If anyone knows, tweet us in at Fubar Radio or email chill@fubarradio.com.
That's a cool email address, chill.
Well, it's
at fubarradio.com.
Chill.
I know. We came up with a name, I know.
So the first Oscars ever was on May 16th, 1926.
Wow.
And there was just 270 people there. And it was at the Roosevelt.
That's still a lot of people.
Hotel. It was in a little hotel.
If that many people came to your birthday, you'd be happy.
They do.
Nah. Yeah, all right.
I'm lucky if I get to. So then it was first televised in 1953. So it was spent so many years just...
That's a lot. So people could say they won and not even really
exactly.
Won.
It was first time it was in colour. It was in 1966, which is quite late, actually.
No, because I think colour TVs were only around that time.
But in the... Okay, all right. I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
But it just makes... When you think of 1966, it doesn't seem like that.
No, because the World Cup final in England, the World Cup final was black and white.
No, was it?
Black and white. I wasn't born, obviously.
Were you there? Oh, damn it, just about to say. Were you watching? it was dubbed the Oscars in 1939, but no one really knows how that came about.
Somebody find out for me, please.
And the Oscars, apparently, they are worth $1.
Statues.
Which translates to 80p. I mean, not in, I don't think in terms of materials or how to make it, but basically everybody who gets an Oscar has to sign a thing to say if they're ever going to sell it, they first have to offer it back to the Academy for $1.
I see.
You have to. Apart from...
And obviously the Academy will buy it because they don't want anyone to sell them on eBay.
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't count to any of the statues before a certain date that came in, like in the
60s. Right.
So there are some of these old Oscars that are selling for a lot of money.
Right, someone sold me an Oscar.
So Orson Welles' Oscar for Citizen Kane, guess how much that sold at auction for?
70,000.
No.
More? Higher? Shut up. 250,000.
Higher.
A million.
$800,000 was Orson Welles' Oscar. Ridiculous. What would you do with that?
It's ridiculous. What would I do? I'd watch the guy who bought it at auction, follow him home, and then rob it off him.
The hood.
I mean, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
$800,000. That's mental.
What's the most expensive things you guys have bought? Tell me.
Email in on Twitter. What is the most expensive thing you've ever bought? Apart from probably like a house.
I bought a car.
Yeah.
On my debit card.
On a debit card?
Yeah.
How much was it?
Like 14 grand.
Just straight out? You just went, I want that one?
Yeah. But this was years ago. I wouldn't do something that stupid now. This was like 2004.
On a debit card?
On a debit card. Little NatWest debit card.
Sorry. And the guy was going,
this is a debit card. I said, I know. And he put it through and it went through. And he was like, what do you do for a living? I said, that's not none of your business, mate.
Porn.
Give me my keys. Give me my keys. Yeah, stupid thing to do. Very stupid thing to do. I don't advise anyone doing that. That's the most expensive thing I've ever bought outright.
Yeah.
And it was a very stupid thing to do. Everyone knows cars depreciate the moment you drive them out.
Exactly. As soon as you drive it off the drive.
It was worth half the price, but I didn't know that back then.
Idiot.
So
what have you bought? What have you spent money on? If anyone's listening, you can email in chill@fubarradio.com. We'll shout you out or tweet us at fubarradio. What's the most expensive thing I've ever bought? I don't actually spend a lot of money on things. I'm also saying that because I don't have a lot of money to spend on things.
That. You look lovely every week. This look doesn't cost nothing.
It's eBay. This was $5 from a market store.
Well, maybe you should start doing a YouTube show called The $5 Outfit.
I know.
How people go like the 50p meal and all that. You should do it. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm a queen of charity shop. But
Queen of charity shops.
I bought my laptop. That was kind of expensive. I bought it outright.
What was that like? £200?
No, it was £1,000. It's £1,000. I bought a Mac. I did feel pretty cool going into
You are pretty cool.
I was like, brand new Mac. Because I've always had hand-me-downs my whole life. And then I finally got to buy something like straight off, which felt very good. Right.
Well, computers are important. My thing was stupid because I was young and
car.
Stupid.
Yeah. My car was £800.
Yeah.
But it's never broken down.
But I bought it brand new. I wouldn't do that now. My car now costs a little bit.
Do you still
more
have that car?
Do you know what, actually? I kept that car for 12 years.
Okay, so then...
Even when I was making films and all that and people were like, bruv, why are you driving this car? I just loved my little car. I kept it for 12 years.
It's my car.
I only got rid of it like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I've got a little Nissan Micra and I love it. It's missing a hubcap. It's got a cassette player. I don't care.
Mine had a cassette player. It was a little Volkswagen Polo. had it for 14 years.
Good.
12 years, sorry. Yeah.
Right, back to the Oscars. Do you know that the what was the first sequel movie to ever win an Oscar?
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
No.
No, I don't know.
The Godfather 2.
The Godfather Part 2, wow.
And Bob Hope,
yeah,
the comedian who I loved his films growing up. If anyone doesn't know who Bob Hope is, Google him. He hosted the Oscars 18 times. Is that good?
Is that the most ever?
That's the most ever, yeah. 18 times hosting. And Oscars in World War II, they had to be made out of plaster because they're metal shortages.
Because the metals were being used, all the bullets and all that. Yeah. Well, see, I'd want one of those ones. That's pretty cool.
I'd want a World War II one, yeah. So they had to give out little like plastic ones.
I mean, the fact that they were still doing Oscars while the World War II was on is a bit...
I know. But then I thought...
But it didn't affect a lot of people in America.
In America, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought metal shortages in America.
Yeah, for ammunition.
Walt Disney won 22 Oscars, and he was nominated 59 times.
Wow.
So, I mean, I think he must win most nominated.
Yeah, possibly.
Dude. I'm going to check that.
The most nominated dude, I reckon.
And then they had to... The longest Oscars was like 4 hours. So they had to bring in a rule that you get 45 seconds until the orchestra...
Nobody listens to that.
They will cut you off.
Who do you guys want to win Oscars? That's the thing. Does everyone want Casey Affleck to win for Manchester by the Sea? Do you want Ryan Gosling? Do you want Denzel Washington?
I know, poor Denzel.
Andrew Garfield, our British boy, Andrew Garfield is up for an Oscar.
I would prefer... I think Casey...
Dev Patel as well, up for an Oscar.
Casey Affleck... just his performance over Ryan Gosling. Ryan Gosling was cute.
I gotta go Brits though, haven't I?
Yeah,
we're Brits. You gotta go Andrew and Dev.
Andrew
Patel.
And Dev, come on. Dev
Andrew
and Andy.
And Dev.
Andy and Dev.
Andy and Devine.
Who do you want to win an Oscar? It's this Sunday. You're gonna be watching. Do you give a shit? Do you not care? Let us know. Chill.
If you're listening to the show with films and shit, you should care. So yeah. Who do you want to win?
So who do you want to win?
Fucking email him.
chill@fubarradio.com. Alfred Hitchcock, when he won his Oscar, he just went up stage and went, "Thank you." And walked off.
I feel like that's what I'd do.
I know. You wouldn't, don't you?
I'd be like, yeah, cool.
Just be like, cool.
I'd be like, it's for all you motherfuckers that said I could never win this shit. No. Do you remember when Cuba Gooding won his? He went crazy on stage. He's like, yeah, going crazy. I was like, mate, they should take that shit back. Like, I don't know. Oh, who should have their Oscars revoked? Because I put him first in line.
Who should take it out? Who should?
Cuba. I put him first in line. Sorry, Cuba.
Who should?
I love your work, man. The OJ thing was awesome, but you did Boat Trip after you won the Oscar, man. They should have took that shit back.
I think that, so I hate when someone gets an Oscar for where they should have won an Oscar, they didn't, and then they get an Oscar almost like in retrospect of something they've previously done.
Denzel done some great films, and you know, didn't get it for Malcolm X, and then they gave him one a couple of years later for something else.
Yeah, so I think it's a little bit of a bit of a game. The Oscar
politics
panel.
I think there's politics.
Yeah, there's definitely politics there. Yeah. But I don't know, I'm quite excited. I like it. I like the... And I...
You're going to stay up?
I don't know.
No, fuck that. I'm too old,
I'm working
man.
On Monday.
I'm too old. I don't even stay up for WrestleMania anymore. I'm not staying
you
up
don't?
For the Oscars now. I'm too old, man. I can't do it. I can't cope with the tiredness the next day. And I love my wrestling. You know that.
I managed to stay up until 5 a.m. recently watching UFC. I was so proud of myself. I was like...
And I love my UFC team, yeah. But even that now, unless it's like, if Michael Bisping's fighting, that's my boy, big up Mike. If he's fighting, I'll stay up, but I'm dead. If it's anyone else, I'm Sky Plus and that shit.
Just, whatever, you can do it now, can't you? Oh, we've got an email in. It says, "Hi guys, Michael Shannon needs to take an Oscar home for Nocturnal Animals."
Yes, he does.
He's a deep, dark actor in everything he does. I love his shit. He's hot, says Paula. Yeah.
So when you say you love his shit, Paula, as in like you've... actually love his shit, like when he takes a shit you love
I
it
I think
all.
She's referring to his work there, but it's hard
is
to
that
tell
Paula? Is that Paula that sent that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that says Paula. Yes,
Paula. I agree
you.
With you, thank you for that. Michael Shannon is a G. Obviously I love Dev, I want to support Dev, but actually Michael Shannon should win that Best Supporting, and I hope he takes it home. Actually he was great in Nocturnal.
He was really good, but I found the performance that affected me most was the other guy, the Aaron Taylor Johnson. He really disturbed me. I was like, shit, how do you play such a good...
Do we still have our...
rapist.
Tumbleweed thing.
No, took it off, but... sorry.
Aaron, yeah, he was good.
No, I think Nocturnal Animals is an amazing... It is a really good film. I was completely shocked when I went to see that. I didn't know anything about
Aaron
it.
Aaron will get one for something else.
Yeah, he's solid, he's good. Bit of a douche in person, but...
Oh, man.
But solid.
Oh, man.
He left me completely hanging in that interview. I was working really hard. He wasn't giving me an inch.
Nothing.
Not even an inch.
He didn't give you an inch, not even the tip.
Not even the tip. He didn't even give me the tip.
Oh, dear.
Damn it. I would have loved his tip. But anyway. Right, let's go on a little bit of more music. Let's go back to Stormzy. So
yes.
I've been listening to the album on the way here, but I didn't get down to Return of the Rucksack. So let's have a little look. Is this one?
This is the track, man. This is a Bad Boy track.
The track from...
Yeah, Return of the Rucksack. And listen, someone gets a shout out in this track. Guess who?
Is it you?
Play it, bitch.
Okay, let's see.
Back on chill, coming back soon.
MC's not bro, I'm above that. Using my name for a dead bit of fame, trying to get up in the game, yeah, right, bring it up that. Storms ain't grime and storms ain't clash, look, don't be fool, cause the war thing, I love that. Call this the return of the rucksack. Hey, flex, get the full door truck back. Come to your block in my PJ,
yeah.
Big dot dot for the briefcase,
yeah.
Bro bought me a watch for my B-day, and my girlfriend's a boss like I'm PK, yeah. I lick shits for my DJ,
right.
And I'm still getting guap in my CKs,
right.
Big whip, I'm underground parking, that's word to the fob on my keychain. Man, can't flex on me, can't flex on me. Rude boy, fling all the texts on me. See Big Mac on the ID site, now the pen thing, you wanna do the SS on me. I got scars for days, I'm so tribal.
True.
You're not Garner Major, you're not Michael.
True.
I can spar and spray on my idols. Look, if I slap your face, you go viral. I was on my Saracen bike on my Ridgeback.
Word.
Cold on the roads, but I did that.
Word.
iPhone 3 with a gift gaff.
Word.
Take a break, little egg and have a Kit Kat.
Cool.
Came for the wall like a mixed pack.
Yeah.
I got painting, shaking a Tic Tac. And I know that I shouldn't be sending, but bro, like, it shouldn't make this track.
No.
You bro, like, should have been quiet.
Why?
I'm cold, little egg, don't try it.
Try.
Yeah, I think I'm the best, I'm biased. And I'm just for your chest like Pyre. But I roll deep on these,
yeah.
Show these look at MCs about greed,
yeah.
Show these look at MCs about me, yeah. I was on my steez from 2003, like
I roll deep on these, put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these, put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these, put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these, put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah.
Man, I'm getting killed by other MCs, then come around here trying to start. Rude boy, we ain't forgotten your past. Laughing stock for the year, what a laugh. Sending for MCs, can't be a path. Rude boy, come off my name, just graph. Man, wanna know where they pay for the part. Know that I'm comfy, shout no clock. Bro, you're too thirsty, I don't blame you. I get murky, I get paid to. You're not 30, I can't hate you. Just a waste man looking for a breakthrough. I know Kofi,
yeah.
I know Quaker,
yeah.
You can't smoke me,
yeah.
I don't rate you.
Yeah.
When I told these niggas that's album time, and I'll probably go gold on my debut. I was on my BMX bike with the trick nuts.
Word.
Out here trying to get my chip us.
Word.
Melford part of my lighty.
Mm-hmm.
I was 15 trying to get my dick us.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't trying to get my dick wet.
Word.
Had a cold pink jacket like Dipset. Last night I just rang my accountant. Like, talk to me, brother, am I rich yet?
Yeah.
Like, talk to me, brother, can I buy this?
Yeah.
Big yard for my nephew Elias.
What?
Can't get this style from a stylist.
No.
Then I'm on the rhythm like, but I roll deep on these. Show these look at MCs about greed. Show these look at MCs about me. I was on my steez from 2003. Like,
roll deep on these. Put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these. Put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these. Put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah. I roll deep on these. Put these MCs from deep freeze, yeah.
I don't wanna be on Lord of the Mic, so MCs not bro, I'm above that. Using my name for a dead bit of fame, trying to get up in the game, yeah, right, bring it up that. Spoons ain't grime and spoons ain't clash, look, don't be fool, cause the war thing, I love that. Call this the return of the rucksack. Hey, flips, get the full door truck back.
Grow and chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Fire, fire,
that
fire,
was so
fire.
Good.
See, Clark, you got a shout out.
Yeah, if you listen carefully, he shouted out Noel.
He did shout me out.
And if you listen really carefully, probably shouted me out too.
I don't think he did.
But just really quickly, you know.
As you young people say, I'm gassed.
Shout John James.
I dropped him a little tweet to say thanks. He hollered me back, obviously.
Yeah.
He's in the film. I love Stormzy, mate.
No, he's good. And he's
Mike.
Good. He's good in Brotherhood as well. Cause,
he is good in Brotherhood.
I don't think, did he have any acting training or was he just
didn't
natural?
Didn't have any acting training, just
no,
natural ability.
I liked
and a good
him.
Director, boom. He's there, man. He's
he was
there.
Very,
you were
good, very
you were
good.
Saying that your name could have been Clark.
Yeah, I was just saying, actually, that my mum's maiden name is Clark, so... I said I was going to be a clerk. And
with a knee. And I said, I have something to tell you after all these
I was
years.
Like, father!
Joanna, I am your father.
Yeah. It all makes sense.
Yeah, can you imagine if I was your dad?
That'd be cool. But
I'd
weird.
Be a cool fucking dad, I think. Well, I am a cool
you
dad.
You are a dad?
Yeah.
But you haven't got a girl. I'll be your adopted.
Yeah, I don't have a daughter.
Does that make me a bit black then?
Yeah,
no.
A little bit. Just the tip.
Just the
just the tip, black. Listen, I don't have a daughter, unfortunately.
No, I know.
I've got three sons.
You'd be good with a daughter.
I would love a daughter.
You'd be a major member of the, what is it, the daddy production.
I don't know, man. But can you imagine now? If I had a girl now, she'd have me and three older brothers. Fucking hell.
She would never date.
Can you imagine some boy coming to the house, be like, "Yeah, I mean to take your door out." Be like, "Is that right?"
It's just a baseball bat.
Is that right, bro? Boys, be like, boys. Three brothers, three older brothers.
Yeah, come meet your sister's date.
Yeah, jeez. Fun times,
mate. Okay, so film. Yes. I'm having a little look about what is coming out, what's coming up in the rest of the year, what's going to be made, and things further on. So,
you tell us.
There is a film called Little America, which is going to be made. It's set in a dystopian future where in London. In China.
Shut up. It's called Little America and set in China.
Yeah, so
okay,
it's where
I was trying to be funny, but no, it's
it's where in a Donald Trump-like future where the president has bankrupted America and China has called in the debts, and so Americans have to emigrate to China for work.
Called in the debt? You mean the debt?
The debts.
Not the depths.
The debt.
I thought you said the depths. I was like, they called Johnny Depp and his family.
They call in the debt. And so Americans have to immigrate to China for work.
Mate,
and so now
a laugh. Your mum is emailing in the show. She kills me every night. I love you.
Oh,
mum. I'll call you, baby. I'll call you.
My mum's just emailed in to say the most money I've ever spent is £800 on Jan. No, mum. I'm pretty sure you've spent more money on.
So technically, so you didn't buy it.
No, I didn't. No, I bought the insurance, which was £1,000. So I spent more.
I absolutely love that your mum listens to the show every week. And
only
and
for you.
Mate, I know. I feel like we should just do it and get it over with because I don't. This tension's been building for
5 years.
Over the mic is too much, you know? I think we should just do it. Just holler at me. Just drop me a little
text.
Well,
you are technically my adopted dad, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
I just don't want to know. So, Little America is exactly that.
It's set in China.
It's set in China, and it's about that whole thing. And I just thought that could be quite. I don't know if it's a comedy or whether it's serious.
Who's in it? Who's going to be in it?
It's just announced, so it's.
That sounds interesting.
The concept.
Better get that agent on the phone for a role. Let's get some job roles in that.
Sing 2.
Sing 2.
But it's not coming out until December 2020.
Yeah, because they got animated.
I know,
so everyone who knows Sing came out at end of last year or beginning of this year. Great animated film. Taron Egerton, Reese Witherspoon, bunch of other people. Matthew McConaughey, bunch of other people I don't remember. But really good film. My boys love it. It's actually pretty good. So do watch it. But Sing 2.
Went down a storm. So
what do you think about sequels all the time? Sequel.
Well, that's the thing. Sometimes sequels can be amazing. Like, I thought
Adulthood Brothers.
Like those trilogies, yeah. Or like Toy Story.
Oh, man.
I thought they did really decent sequels.
Yeah, but they're doing number 4. I don't know if they should do number 4.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it ended so well. Leave it be. So there's a film called Miss Granny, which is about an African American 70-year-old who becomes 20 again.
I thought that could be terribly great. Yeah. Who's doing that? Tyler Perry?
I don't know who it is. It's what's on this announced.
Miss Granny.
But being a 70-year-old being 20 again for the day would be just
interesting.
Quite funny.
Kind of like Nutty Professor 2, where the dad gets young and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, I quite like those films where they do body swaps and age swaps.
Yeah, that could be good.
They
used to do them a lot, like Big and Vice Versa and Millie Willy. Do you remember Millie Willy?
No.
Before your time, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
23 Jump Street is back because they were good.
23 Jump Street.
I mean, fucking same up. Writer.
You would think by now they jumped off that street, they wouldn't make any more of those films.
Well, Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum are back, and not only that, they're doing 23 Jump Street, and they're also doing Jump Street versus Men in Black in the same movie.
No, they're not. Shut up.
Apparently,
get
so.
Out of here.
Jump
out.
Street versus Men
they're
in Black.
They're not doing that. I'm putting my hat in the ring saying those films sound terrible. Like end of, they sound terrible. But they're going to make a lot of money, obviously.
Yeah.
I love Channing Tatum.
Aliens and Channing Tatum
sound terrible.
Cool. Oh, we just got another email in here. It says, "Hello, I'd like Ryan Gosling to win as he's my future husband, but he doesn't know it yet. Lovely voice in La La Land, Maggie. Well, I'm pretty sure. Is he married?
Yeah, but Mendes, but Maggie's going to make moves, man.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Good for you, Mags. You get him. You get him, girl.
He has got a lovely voice.
He is all right, yeah.
But a lazy eye, which I didn't realise.
Neither did I. I didn't know that.
They film him so well.
I didn't know he had a lazy eye.
Yeah, he's got a lazy eye.
Crooked Eye Goz, that's what we should nickname him. Anyway, what else?
So Avatar 2.
I'm not happy about that 23 Jump Street. Anyway.
Has got the go ahead.
Avatar 2, boom.
For Christmas 2018, next year.
Fucking hell, I'll be like 70 by the time. Yeah.
But they are going to film not just Avatar 2.
Yeah.
Avatar 2, 3, 4 and 5, they're going to film at the exact same time on one massive, huge, probably the biggest ever film shoot ever.
So that's going to take like a year for those actors.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Do we want Avatar 2, 3, 4 and 5?
I mean, that's a lot of
It's been a
Avatar.
Long time since the first one. The first one was good, don't get
the
me wrong.
The first one was great.
But it's been a while. Do we want 2? Do we want 2?
Do we want
Avatar 2? Do we want 3, 4 and 5? Because I most definitely don't want 2?
2, yes. Yeah. 2,
3,
maybe 3.
4 and 5?
Nah.
I'm indifferent.
Go away.
I'm indifferent.
But yeah, I don't know. That's just going to be the most expensive, huge, epic. Can you imagine the production team on that are just going to, they're going to die.
The catering budget will be bigger than the budget of my films.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The catering budget on like that Tom Cruise films is bigger than most films' budgets.
Yes.
So if you ever want to get good food, work on a Tom Cruise film.
Yeah, Tom Cruise film.
Oh, here's a little bit of like factoid knowledge that I thought you might appreciate.
Boom, now. tell me.
So there is a particular note from the Star Trek soundtrack that can make a woman orgasm.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's a thing called the blaster beam, which makes this an unusual musical thing.
Okay, that sounds very interesting, but you know, so we should move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
well, that's cool.
We should move on.
Oh man. Okay, quickly. Well, anyway, apparently it is an octave below piano, and it can stimulate all the right bits in a lady, and they can.
What note is it?
It's an octave below the lowest on a piano.
Right. Someone get me a piano in here.
But they use it on the Star Trek soundtrack in 1979.
That's why people like that show so much.
So they love that show. Do.
How do we get an octave below piano?
Below piano. Be careful,
listen,
Noel.
I'm
going to
do this note. See, tell me if you have a little quiver in your pants.
No, wasn't working. You're not deep enough. Nearly.
Oh, they don't lie. I know you do.
Right, okay, let's go for another song. Blah, 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 blah. Who do we want to go? Oh, I'm going to go for... I went
the
for
The Streets.
Yeah, this is from...
Kid Outhood.
Well
Boom.
Done.
So we roll, man.
Yeah, I know. I went back to your films. Here we go.
Just try and stay positive. people who say that are blaspheming. They're doing 9 to 5 and moaning, and they don't want you succeeding when they've blown it. Your idols, who are they? They too dreamt about their day. Positive steps will see your goals, whether it's dollars or control, feel the gold. I ain't helping you climb the ladder, I'm busy climbing mine. That's how it's been since the dawn of time. You reach your cul-de-sac, the world turns its back. This is your zone, it's like blackjack. He might get the ace or the top one. To organise your twos and threes into a run, and then you'll have fucked him some. And for that you'll be the better one. One last thing before you go though. When you feel better tomorrow you'll be a hero. But never forget today. You could be back here, things can stray. What if you see me in that window? You won't help me, I know. That's cool, just keep walking where you go. Carry on through the estate, stare at the geezers so they know you ain't lightweight. And go see your mates. And when they don't look happy, play them this tape.
Just try and stay positive.
Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Hey, we're live on the radio. Hey, I'm just, hold on guys, I'm just talking to the family here. Just one
he's
second.
On,
guys.
Noel's on the phone.
Yeah, babe, I gotta go, man. You know, I'm live on the radio. Alright, see you later. Bye boys.
That's
how I roll, man. I'm a cash guy. I'm a regular dude, man. You know, we were live on the radio, but we're going to talk to the family at the same time.
Live, double.
Multitasking. They say we can't multitask, bro. It's multitasking.
Right, we've got our second guest in the studio.
We
it's
do.
Lewis Rose.
Lewis
Welcome.
Rose!
Welcome.
Thank you. Hello, how you doing?
Oh, you have a radio voice and a half.
Well, there you go.
I love the name as well, Lewis Rose.
Lewis
That's
Rose.
A sexy name, man.
I know.
Lewis Rose.
It's like tough, but then sweet.
It's like a wrestler's name.
It's not even a stage name.
Oh, really?
It's a real born name, yeah.
It's like a wrestler's name. The new WWE champion, Lewis Rose!
I love that.
Yeah,
so
that should
talk to us, man. We are here about The Chop.
That's right, yeah. It's a short film that I directed quite a while ago now. It came out in 2015.
Fantastic.
And we've just been doing the festival circuit, and we screened at BFI London, and we've screened at over 50 festivals now.
I love how you've done a big festival. He's like, Josh, right, we're just doing the festival circuit. Bear in mind, you've won what, how many awards is it? 15, 16 awards?
15 now, yeah.
15 Whoa. Awards in the festivals around the world as you've been touring with this film, yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's been going amazing. Like, we never thought it would get this kind of attention, but yeah, it's been awesome.
Fantastic.
Got to travel around with it, and
yeah. So tell the listeners what the short's about, and then where we can see it after that.
Yeah, so it's a comedy, 15-minute comedy about a kosher butcher who loses his job and he can't find work at another kosher butcher, so he pretends to be Muslim to get work in halal butcher.
Right.
hilarious consequences.
When I read the synopsis, I was like, I want to see that immediately.
That's great.
And it's actually screening tomorrow at the Vault Film Festival.
Oh, the vaults are still going on.
Yeah.
What time is that?
It's at 1:30, I believe.
Nice. Okay, guys, you hear that? It is screening tomorrow at the Vault Film Festival at 1:30. Yeah, The Chop.
And the Vaults
Chop.
Festival, it's in the Lewisham... Not Lewisham. That's where I'm from. It's from in the Waterloo Vaults.
In the Waterloo Vaults.
Yeah.
Boom. Make sure you check it out. But anyway, carry on.
So yeah, you can see it there, and also if you check out our Facebook page, there's more info, and so you can see it online through Vimeo On Demand, and it's going to be screening at quite a few other festivals, and we're just looking at where the next stage we're going to take
Great.
It is,
so
basically.
tell me how did because you're the writer and director, which is brilliant. I love a director. I'm a director myself. You may or may not know.
I do know. I like your work a lot.
Thank you very much, sir. Tell me, how did you come up with the idea, and how long did it then take you to write, and what inspired you to write the idea?
Well, I kind of knew a bit about both cultures. Like, I think growing up in London, you sort of, you're around lots of different cultures, and my school was quite a big mix, well, quite a lot of Muslim students, not many Jews actually, so I kind of knew a lot of the similarities between the two religions and thought that there was some comedy there, and I kind of wanted to find a way to do the story and not have to make it too much like playing on stereotypes, so people are actually in their place of work. And this seemed like a good way to kind of make the two worlds collide.
Yeah.
And then I sort of had it on the back burner for a while, and then found out about this fund that the UK Jewish Film Festival do, which is £10,000 to make a short film. And you don't have to be Jewish, it just has to be a film with some Jewish subject matter. So I knew about that, and we wrote it and went for the fund, and we got it, and it's just kind of gone from there.
Great, fantastic.
Yeah.
And what's the overall message behind the short?
message is about togetherness, really, and just you know, London being a multicultural place, and I guess kind of you know, like I said, the similarities of the religion, also, you know, kind of some of the silliness, but not really making fun, just kind of pointing out, I guess, that we're all the same, really, and that even if we come from different places, and I think, you know, people are very worried about who they're going to offend, and I think when I wrote this film and when I had the idea, a lot of people, if you say it, they think it might be offensive, but I think, you know, I was very careful to try not to offend people, because I think if you go into it with the right intention, you can still sort of gently make comments about things without, you know, taking the piss too much.
Because people take religion and stuff, especially these days, very, very seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm so offended by what you put on the internet. Very sensitive.
So it's interesting that you came up with that. And what are your plans for the what are the plans for the with the film? Is still how much more festivals is it going to win at? Does it have to keep going? You know, you're just chilling, touring around the world on free flights, or you know, what's next for you?
Well, the film has probably got like another couple of months of festivals, but I think the next stage is we're developing it into a series. So just speaking to a couple of different production companies about that and looking to take it to the next level. So, yeah, we've got, you know, working on an outline and seeing how it can be adapted over six episodes and just what can happen with the characters and just how many more jokes we can pack
in,
really.
Fantastic. I know a couple of producers you should talk to. as in me, but that sounds great, man. That sounds great. And obviously, you want that to be a returnable series, something that can keep going and stuff like that. Because
And I guess, you know, Jews and Muslims, that's never going to die, right? There's a lot of fun in there. You know what I mean? Well, there's going to be a conflict going on, but you know, we can try and do our little bit to just poke fun and, you know,
and kind
diffuse
of
the tension.
Yeah, I think that's important, man. Yeah. Well, good. It's good to have a short film about togetherness and that sort of thing.
Comedy.
Wish you luck in all these festivals. And what about yourself? What's next for yourself? What are your plans?
So I'm writing my first feature at the moment, so that's my next sort of long-term goal. And then I also do a lot of commercials and music videos to pay the bills, and also it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, working on a few music videos at the moment and, yeah, just trying to keep working and keep my head above water.
Grinding.
Getting on to the next thing.
Well, we look forward to that feature. And we look forward, and you guys should. So where can people see The Chop? Where can they see it now at the minute?
So tomorrow they can see it at The Vaults, and if they want to see it, if they miss it there, then they can go on our Facebook page and they can go to links where they can buy it on demand.
Boom.
And eventually it will be released online for free.
Boom. Any idea when?
It will be a little while because of distribution and the festival circuit, probably like not for a year or so.
A year.
But we can buy it.
You can buy it for fiver, guys.
So. Go on Vimeo on demand.
Price of a pint. It's well worth it, I promise.
And then buy it. And so, question, where are you putting all these awards? Where are they?
At the moment, they're just on my shelf.
Have you got space for any books or anything like that with all these awards on there?
I've got one shelf of my film books and then the awards below.
great.
Just in the little office. Yeah, no, it's good.
And what are your Oscar feels for this weekend? Do you have anyone that you particularly want to win?
Yeah.
Or what did you like about the season?
Well, I'm seeing Moonlight tonight, actually, so I'm quite looking forward to that. So far, my favourite pick would be Manchester by Sea for the May award.
Yeah.
I saw for documentary The 13th. It would be, I don't know if you've seen
that. Yes, I've got that.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's really good, about kind of the prison system
in
America.
The prison system,
So that would be my tip for documentary.
I might watch that tonight, actually.
Yeah,
I like a good prison documentary.
Fantastic. For best foreign film as well, Tony Erdman. I don't know if you've seen that.
What's
it's a good, really good comedy, worth watching.
What's
it's out.
Tony Erdman.
Yeah.
Okay. I've not seen that. Boom. I'm gonna have a look at that as well. Those are the tips from Lewis Rose there.
We got a couple of emails in saying, hey, I thought La La Land was shit.
I agree.
It was so long and boring.
He agreed. It was so long and boring.
Gosling is really not as hot as you think from Drew.
He's also not that good an actor. I'm sorry. I don't get the Gosling love.
I liked him in Drive.
Lewis Rose does not get the Gosling love. Well, look, I didn't say he was hot. I don't think he's very hot. I think I'm hotter than him, personally, if I say so myself. thanks, Jana. That was an agreement laugh, I'm assuming. I like Drive.
Drive is wicked. But he doesn't have to do much in that.
Doesn't say much. Yeah, that's the
and
key.
And I like The Notebook.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, I'm a girl.
Look at the girls in the other room. We're like, oh yeah, The Notebook.
Noah.
That film drives me mad, insane. The
Noah, man. He just set.
Not a fan.
He set a stupid standard for boyfriends.
I've been watching that sometimes with a girl, and you're just like, this is so nonsense. And you look at them, they're crying like.
I have to say, I watched it with my missus quite a few years ago, and she hated it. So I was very happy. We both watched it, and we were like, "This is
wow."
Awful.
She's
found,
the one.
You found a keeper. Bro.
She's the one.
You have found a keeper.
Oh, someone says I'd love Lucas Hedges to get an Oscar for Manchester by the Sea. He's a cutie.
He's a cutie from Nan.
From Nan.
Now, is that his grandmother?
His Nan.
Is that his grandmother?
I don't
or
know.
Just Nan?
From Nan.
Who is your name? Well, I want to know what your name is now. Is your name Nan? Nando?
No, I was going to say Nando's.
Is it? Maybe that's Nando's.
Maybe it's the person who started Nando's.
Lucas Hedges is decent.
He was the teenage boy in it, right?
I don't find him that cute.
No, but he was good. He was very good.
He ain't Dev Patel, though. Dev.
Dev Patel's got hot.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, he has.
He's not my type.
He won the BAFTA and everyone was like, what? Dev?
Yeah, I don't think he's
I
hot.
I love it when a little ugly duckling gets hot.
He hasn't got boobs or anything.
He hasn't got the man boob. The man.
Not my.
The man breast chest.
He's not my type.
Well, I don't know. I think it was the beard. Beards can do a lot. They can do a lot.
He's not the kid in Slumdog anymore. You know, he has grown up. It's been a few years.
I know, but he's sort of stocked out and got a beard.
He's tall as well. He's like 6 foot.
He's got hair.
I think he always had hair, but I get what you mean.
You know, but now he has hair, you know? Yeah. Like, anyway.
Oh, man. All right, guys.
I'm a Dev fan. Yeah, cool. Okay, so that's what... Are you going to be watching the awards? Or
yeah, I will. I'll tune in. I want to see all the Trump hate as well. That's
oh,
all
my gosh. There's going
to
be...
I'm kind of looking forward to that more
so
than anything.
So much shade is going to be thrown.
I think he's going. He said he's going to turn up. No, he didn't. Trump. He didn't say that.
No, he said he's not even going to watch it.
He didn't say that. But that would be awesome if he did. If he just rocked up and was like, what?
I'll take the award for, well, some people say Meryl thought he should get the best performance for his.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be serious of all the nonsense he's doing. I think I'm expecting it to be like an episode of Black Mirror or something like that. Yeah.
Someone said, I saw that, the best thing that someone's holding up saying, this episode of Black Mirror shit.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All the best of luck in the Vaults Festival. That's so cool.
Boom. Really good shop, guys. Make sure you see it.
Thank you so much. Right, we're going to pop to a song. I'm going to go for a bit of Sunny and Cher. Because I like the song.
It's better be good.
It is.
Is it about us?
It's about me and you, babe.
They say we're young and we don't know. We won't find out until we grow. Well, I don't know. While that's true, 'cause you got me.
That song was dedicated to Noel Clark. Okie dokie. It's Back Row and Chill. It's Johanna James and Noel Clark. We've just gone after 5 o'clock, so got one more hour left of the show before the weekend starts. Very exciting. Do we have our third guest on the line? We do. Amazing. So we're about to speak to the Emmy Award winning film and television stage veteran actor, Joe Morton. So let's see if Joe's on the line. Joe, can you hear us?
I can. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Welcome
good
to the show.
Sir. How are you?
Thank you.
It's a tiny line. Where are you in the world at the moment, Joe?
I'm in the Marina Del Rey in California.
Ah, Cali.
Marina Del Rey. I shot Star Trek Into Darkness out there. Very nice area.
Is that right?
Yeah, really nice white beach. Yeah, I was the first 10 minutes that blew up everything before Benedict came and took everything over. Yeah. How are you?
Very well. I'm having a hard time hearing you. You sound very far away.
Oh, okay. We'll try and speak a little bit louder.
Yeah, we'll try and speak up here.
So, Joe, one of the most watched television shows is Scandal. Oh, can you hear us, Joe? Yeah, and so Scandal is about to start, new series.
Yes, new season of Scandal, and you play the nefarious Rowan. Tell us a little about what we can expect without giving too much away for this season.
Well, and I think the things that you'll find is that things will begin to shift. It starts off, obviously, with where we left off at the end of season 5, which is who wins the election. So that's where you'll start.
Okay. And how did you get involved with Scandal at the very, very beginning?
No, season two. I'm assuming as an actor, is an audition, or were you offered the role originally?
It's a very funny story. I came out to L.A. for pilot season. I had, of course, heard of Scandal, but never had an occasion to watch it. Watched the first season on Netflix. And after seeing it, just fell in love with it. Thought, oh, this would be wonderful. I could figure out a way to get on the show for an episode or two.
Yeah.
And before I even had a chance to talk to my agent or my manager about trying to do that, I got a call from them saying that Scandal wanted to talk to me about coming onto the show.
Nice. Wow.
And when I spoke to the producer Scandal, they made it clear that if I decided to take the role, that at the end of season two, the last two lines would be, "Hello, Olivia. Hi, Dad." And I said, "Yes, that sounds great. I'll take the job."
Wow, fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And Rowan is behind a lot of the shifty stuff that goes on in the season. Do you think, without giving too much away, do you think this is going to kind of change, or is he going to continue his sort of nefarious ways?
Well, I mean, I think what you'll see is that things will begin to move around and shift. I keep saying that, you know, politics of Washington, D.C. is kind of like a great big desert where all of the creatures have to really take care of themselves first, otherwise they get gobbled up or burnt by the sun.
Yeah.
Sun in power. So that's kind of what I think you'll be watching.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like real life as well, isn't it, with the current politics in Washington, too?
Yes.
Exactly. So you sir, are also, in my eyes, not just because of Scandal and your wonderful career, but you're a legend because you are also in the Terminator films, which I happen to love from when I was a child. What was it like for you back then? Did you know those films, or that film in particular, T2, was going to be as big as it was?
Well, if you remember, the first Terminator film was rather a low budget film.
Mm. Yeah.
It did very, very well. So Terminator 2 was, for James at that point, a very large step up.
Yeah.
I was absolutely excited to be part of it, to work up with Arnold and Linda. So it was enormously exciting. Very big difference for me. I mean, I had done John Sayles movies in the past, which were, again, low-budget films, so I had never been around that kind of size and that kind of money in terms of film before.
Yeah. Was it one of those ones where the catering budget was bigger than some of the budgets of the movies you'd previously been on? I've been there a couple times.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I said, was it one of those ones where the catering budget was so large it was bigger than some of the budgets of other movies you'd been on?
Yeah, I'd say probably their catering budget was probably as large as what one of John Sayles' movies cost me. James did things like he would, before we finished my death scene, he actually went sort of, because you remember at the end when I, after I died, Linda sort of scoots across the floor and they start shooting at her and all the windows get blown out.
Yes.
Well, he blew out the windows long before he decided to shoot that scene just to see what it would look like. And I had never been around a bug loud for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, crazy. That's crazy times, man. And he still does that with stuff like Avatar, just huge, absolutely monster-sized movies. And in and a couple of years ago, you won an Emmy. What was that feeling like to get up on stage and after having such a stellar career anyway? I know you don't define your career by awards, but how did it feel to actually be recognized by people at that stage?
You know, it's a very exciting thing when it happens. You know, I was more than happy just to receive the nomination.
Yeah.
So to win the actual award was just tremendous. Very surprising. I mean, I'd only been on the show for one season and six episodes, so for all that to happen that quickly, I thought was astonishing. So
yeah.
It was a lot to take in for a while. I don't know if you ever saw it, but we put out a picture the following day on Twitter of me in bed.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen it. It's in front of me right now. I've got the picture in front of me right now. And so it may have been surprising to you, but you deserved it.
I actually had the statue on the dining room table from the night before, and I got up the following morning, went into the dining room just to make sure that it had really happened. That I'd actually really come before. And then my girlfriend said, "Oh, that's a good idea. Why don't you just get back in bed with the award? We'll take a picture." And that's where that came from.
Fantastic! It's a great picture, and so it may have been surprising to you, but it wasn't surprising to us. You definitely deserved that. I have to say.
Well, thank you.
And Joe, what's up next? Have you got anything later for 2017 coming up?
Justice League, which comes out in November.
Can't wait. Because you play Cyborg's dad, right?
I play Silas Stone, yes.
Silas Stone, I cannot wait.
Justice League, oh.
Yeah, we can't wait for that. I mean, I saw you in Batman versus Superman being Silas Stone, you know, with the experiments of dad. And I'm a big comic book movie fan, so, sir, you are a legend, and I can't wait to see you in that as well.
Well, thank you. It should be good. I mean, it was very exciting to make.
Great. Well, sir, we look forward to the new season of Scandal.
Yeah. For all our UK people listening, we watch it. It used to be on Netflix, and now it's on Living, the TV channel.
Yeah.
So you can catch it on that. Thank you so much, Joe, for calling in. Hope you have a lovely day. Rest of the day. Not sure what time it is
Thank
in
you,
California.
Sir. And continue being an inspiration for all of us. You are a genius.
Thank you.
Not a problem. All right, have a good weekend, Joe. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Oh, what a love.
Genius. He's a ledge, man.
He's obviously got like a cool comedy streak for doing pictures like that.
He's a ledge, man.
Pictures of him in bed with an award.
I might do that as well. I got a couple, you know.
What awards you got?
Shut up.
The Rabbit Award.
The Rabbit Award, yeah. I can do that.
No, I don't think I've won. Oh, I have won an award.
Yeah, what was it?
I won. So I used to be part of an amateur theatre company, and they created an award for me. And they called it
the Best Johanna James Award.
No, they called it the 13th Award. And it was for the worst accident on stage.
Why am I not surprised that you were involved in the worst accident? Why am I not surprised, old klutzy clumsy?
I'm the most klutzy person in the world. And they said, we're gonna give you an award. We're going to give you the 13th Award for your bad luck on stage.
Although, to be fair, I haven't seen you trip up in a while or anything like that.
And I'm in heels. I'm doing well. I'm pacing myself. But
yeah, you are. I've got heels on today.
But
she's got leopard print heels on, guys.
Leopard print booties. I know. Yeah. Every Friday, I do this thing on my Snapchat. I do, like, Whore Day Friday. So I wear slightly sluttier clothes on a Friday. So I've got leather skirt and leopard print booties.
Is that only Friday, is it?
But Whore Day Friday, exactly. Rest of the week, I'm a slob, I look like a man. But Whore Day Friday, I put lipstick on and heels.
So I'm deciding which way the joke should go, whether it should be like you look like a man every day or you look like a whore every day. But I couldn't decide quick enough, so now I'm just in the middle.
I'm a man whore.
So
I got the 13th award, which is cool because nobody else has ever got
one. It's an exclusive award. You should sell it on eBay.
Especially classy.
Well, he's a ledge, man.
Joe Morton,
great actor, and I'm so glad that you know his career is really sort of taking off now. And yeah, I know that sounds weird, obviously, because he's been acting for a million years, but, you know, Scandal's really put him in a different place. I'm really happy for him.
I like Kerry Washington as well. She's so buff.
I should have asked him about Shonda Rhimes, but I couldn't hear him well enough, so I was like,
yeah, he's on,
better to get
well,
rid
he's
of
on the other side of the world. We'll forgive
Marina
him for
Del Rey is like fucking out there. It's like a, it's like beachy. It's where the Hughes brothers built that plane, the Hudson Hughes, or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's far out.
Far out, dude.
Yes, okay, darling.
It's California. Right, let's play a little bit more music, yeah. And we're going to come up to...
Go with my man, with my man.
Right, well, we're going to go for Stormzy.
Yeah, man.
Which one?
The one that sounds a little bit like you, Big For Your Boots.
Ah, but hey.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
It's up there, you had it.
I had it, didn't I?
It's up the top there. We're gonna
here we go, I found it. Stormzy,
found
Big,
it.
Big For Your Boots. Do you know what, I love this song.
Because it describes Johanna James. Okay, play the track.
You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the ute. Man, know that I kick up the ute. Them boy there try to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth? Look, you're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the ute. Man, know that I kick up the ute. Them boy there try to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth? Wanna come round here like a bad boy, do it. Run all the talking, go on and do it. Running through the party, bottle of Bacardi. Bowls in my ear saying, Spoon, don't do it. Devil on my shoulder, I don't lack. Hit him with a bork, I don't scrap. Even when I'm sober, I'm so gassy, right? But there's no car and no match.
What are you talking about?
Clown, stand down. Never had a mirror. You were never bad then, you ain't bad now. Never had a and then look, and back down. Wait, I saw bare kicks, saw bare clothes. Said, off that, I can't wear those. I don't like them, they're not my thing. They went silent, they're all weirdos. Like, yeah, Spoon's gone clear. Never had a Tom Ford or a Montclair. Man, them a car, but you see my done there. Off crease, tell them don't do it, don't dare. Don't care who you know from my block. You're not Al Capone, you get fucked. They can take my car and my creps. I still do the road in my socks. Like, who's gonna stop me? You, him, weeding a cigarette. Blue Slims, don't be an idiot. Move smart, I've been killing it. New king, they ain't ready for my new stuff. You're a bitch by yourself, go and group up. And when crep went states for the BTs, I was covering crep like a boot cut. If mad, it's a family thing, straight family thing. Dumb man, I broke no salary thing. Had a penguin called Amy telling me to come round hers on a Valerie thing. Hashtag Murky Academy thing. Coming like art in the gallery thing. Dumb boy there, wanna chat about bars, wanna chat about crud, but. You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the U. Man, know that I kick up the U. Them boy there try to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth? Look, I'm too hot. Got money in my shoebox. I'm the man of the house when my show sold out. Like the brother from the Boondocks. Beat Swan in my boombox. Still meat from the stew pot. Man, I'm go sick with my tune drops. Little man, that's a who blow, not a who blow. What? Pronounce it right, you blow. I go magic, I'm down to die for this. I don't care, bro, I'm down to bump your chick. Match stress, so I'm bound to lie my slips. Wait, I'm bound to ride for flips. Real G's gonna ride around to this. Man, I got no time to write at this. I never left my 9 to 5 for this waste, man, ting. I don't care what rave man's in. I came here to relax, but if it gets mad, make a young boy take man's things. Try to tell me I'm way too big to rebel. Nah, man, you're never too big to rebel. I was in the O2 singing my lungs out, rude, but you're never too big for Adele. Leave my yard, blow a kiss to my girl. Salute to my sister as well. Gotta keep trophies down at my mum's bit. Man, I'm getting way too big for my shelf. Man, I see bare MCs on the sideline, but I still got a couple bangs in the pipeline. Man, I got grown men at me. You're getting way too old for the timeline. You're getting way too old for this. Should've looked after your kids. Get out the booth, go home to your son. It's never too late to commit. It's like, man, love, put my name in the bar. Random flight, get a plane to Qatar. This year I learned how to take care of business. Next year I learned how to play the guitar. You're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the ute. Man, know that I kick up the ute. Them boy there try to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth? Look, you're getting way too big for your boots. You're never too big for the boot. I got the big size toes on my feet. Your face ain't big for my boots. Kick up the ute. Man, know that I kick up the ute. Them boy there try to stop the truth. How dare you to stop the truth?
Legend. Woo! Big For Your Boots.
My boy. Yeah.
I love how he says it. your boots.
Mate, that's a talent right there. We're witnessing, not witnessing, because he's been around for a while. But
and he's young.
The birth of a talent right here.
So
a major,
young.
Major talent. This is our guy.
Is
UK's
he doing
guy.
Any festivals? I'm just wondering what.
Probably.
What festivals
you know,
signed up for?
We've got some great people like Skepta and Wiley and Getz and all. They all guys are great, but Stormzy is different.
And he kind of just, well, for me anyway, shot out of nowhere.
It's like a Jedi. It's like the new Jedi.
The last Jedi.
He's like the last Jedi.
Oh, actually, there's a Star Wars parody is going to be made, of course.
By you?
No, I wish. It's by the people who made A Scary Movie and all of them.
Great.
They've got two parody films coming out. One is Star Wars Episode XXX1VE equals MC2, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi Who Went Rogue.
Love that.
That's the full title
Love that.
Of the parody.
Sounds brilliant.
And the other one is called Who the Fuck Took My Daughter? Which is a parody of Taken.
Taken.
Who the fuck took my daughter?
Yeah, that's great.
I kind of like the sound of both of those.
Yeah.
That could be quite funny.
Those kind of films are hit and miss. Like Scary Movie 1 was genius.
Yeah.
Genius. And then actually 2 wasn't bad either, but then
yeah.
Like, by the time it got to like 5 or 8 or whatever it ended on.
Scary Movie 19, but yeah, I do love a good parody.
Well, they did the 50 Shades, didn't they? 50 Shades of Black.
50 Shades of Black.
I think 73 Shades of Chocolate Brown would have been a better title. That's the name of my film, my book.
My novel. Erotic novel.
My erotic novel, ladies, for those of you who listen.
Set in space.
It's just set in regular places.
Oh, I thought it'd be cool.
Like beds
space.
And park benches and back rows of cinemas where you can back row and chill. It's called 73.5 Shades of Chocolate Brown.
73.5 Shades of Chocolate
Who
Brown.
Would read that? Would you read that book?
Would you like me to read
that book into your ear, whisper it in your ear? Tell me.
I don't know if I'd like 73. My mum would love it. My mum would love that.
73.5 Shades of Chocolate Brown. That is the erotic novel I'm writing.
Hell yeah. amazing. Right, we're nearly coming up to film review time, which is going to be quite cool. I've got one last piece of a little bit of news to let you guys know.
Tell me, I'm interested.
Purge 4.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why did I say I was interested?
Oh, no. So as soon as you said you were, I was like, not going to be interested in this, are you? So Purge 4, but obviously they're making so much money, and it is such a very good concept. They've got to make another one, but they're refusing to go further anymore because they're like, enough's enough. And in the last one, the Purge ended anyway. So this time, it's a prequel, and it's going to be how the Founding Fathers...
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's going to be how the Purge came about, because it is a bit like, why the hell is everyone okay with... The fact that you can just kill everyone every year.
That could actually be interesting.
Yeah, so it's the same writer, so I kind of trust that.
Trust that it'll be as terrible as the other three.
I quite like it. I like it.
I will...
we just got an email in from Lila, who says, I love it when Noel's in and it gets all saucy.
Never stop or change, Lila.
Never stop.
Lila. Babe, I will never stop. If you like it, then I'll keep going.
Like it, Lila.
She don't even like it. She loves it. I love it when Noel's in and gets all saucy.
Saucy Noel.
Mate, you missed me, didn't you, girl?
We need to get a little ident for you.
Saucy
like
Noel.
Noel's saucy.
Thank you, Lila.
Segment.
I love you, babe. Thank you.
Saucy Noel. Brown sauce.
Brown sauce.
Chocolate sauce.
How would you like some brown sauce?
Amazing. Right, so we're going to get Lucy in the studio next.
Lupats!
I think we're going to go for a little bit of music. I've gone for, again, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Just love that.
Very good.
I just can't wait for the second film.
I cannot wait for that, yeah.
I really want to see that, but also I really want mixtape number 2, because I love mixtape number 1 from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
So this is the Pina Colada song from Rupert Holmes.
lady. I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady have fallen into the same old routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Said, oh, it's you. Then we laughed for a moment, and I said, I never knew that you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain and the feel of the ocean and the taste of champagne. If you like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape,
do you know what? I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Making love at midnight ain't for me.
Not anymore.
Nah, mate. I'd rather be asleep. Well, I'd do you at like 10:30 and then have a kip.
What time of day?
Oh, and then again at 11:30. And then 6 o'clock in the morning. But I need that
but
kip.
But not midnight.
Not at midnight, man. I need to sleep, man.
I like middle of the night sex.
Well, like that sort of 3:30 in the morning when he turns over and just like pokes you in the back.
And you're like, what's going on? Oh, hello.
Yeah. No, I need sleep now. Nah. I need sleep now.
That's what happens when you turn.
It's an age thing.
60.
But remember, I get up at like. Yeah, you wish, mate. Well, I get up at like. I get up early, so like.
Yeah, you're a super early
come
riser.
Come 5:30, so. You better watch out.
You're like, I'll come with a warning.
Yeah.
A sleepover warning.
5:30, you better watch out, man.
No, I think there's different times. People like different times of the day, and that's the annoying thing if you're with someone who likes the opposite time of day to you.
Yeah. That would be annoying.
It's like. One of you's always got to be doing it in the wrong.
But then you have any doubt about a permission slip. Can I do it while you're sleeping? I'd sign here, tick here.
I was going to say like a parental permission slip, and then that's just wrong.
Because I'm not a fan of pina coladas either, so that song just isn't for me, really.
That wasn't your jam. No. Do I like a pina colada? No, a bit coconutty, I think. I prefer the... I'm a girly gay cocktail person.
What's your one?
Like Sex on the Beach or...
Yeah,
doesn't
surprise me.
I'll have a mojito and sex on the
doesn't
beach.
Surprise me. I bet you do. She's just been eating a peanut butter Kit Kat as well, which really winds me up because I want to eat it.
He want to eat it. And I offered him half of the Kit Kat.
I can't
like
be
a good
that,
friend.
I can't be doing it. I'm in good shape.
But he said no.
I said no. And it smelled so good.
Well done. No, it's good. You're going to get your abs.
I've got my abs, man.
You got abs? Me too. I got one ab.
Yeah, one.
Just the one.
A keg. It's just a keg.
It's just a little keg. Right, so last week I got the pleasure of going to interview Barry Jenkins, who directed and wrote
Moonlight,
which is out at the cinema now. So I'm going to play what it was like meeting him, because he was just really, 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 really lovely. So let's just pop that on now, and then we'll be right back with film reviews.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James on FUBAR Radio.
If we could just quickly speak about the BAFTAs, because that's just happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that experience like?
It was cool. I've never been in the same room with royalty, so
Literal royalty and acting royalty.
Yeah, no. It was dope. It was a cool experience.
Noel was actually there, and I was watching.
Yeah, in a white tux.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I
was looking snazzy.
Trying to stand out. And I was sort of, because you were up for, was it Best Picture?
Yeah, it was Best Picture, original screenplay, and then the supporting actress. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like holding my breath just in case, because I got to see the film, and it was, I deliberately didn't hear anything about it, and I just went in completely fresh.
Oh, that's my favorite kind of view.
Yeah, I'm just like, what is this? I'm not going to ask, I'm just going to watch. And I was really, really impressed. I think I've got to talk about casting, because the film is really unique in that it follows the story of one guy, but played by three separate people. Mm-hmm. What was the process in finding, because they're all equally amazing.
Yeah, I'm very proud of the performances. You know, it wasn't that we had like 80 hoops that every actor had to jump through or 80 boxes they all had to check. It was more just about endurance. You know, we were looking for this feeling. You know, I knew I wanted to cast three different actors, and I wasn't so concerned with them looking alike. I was more concerned with the spiritualness, this essence, the soulfulness. In order to accomplish that, we just had to see a lot of people. And so it was probably the longest phase of the process of building the film, was just seeing enough people that we could finally find these three guys on both sides, because we do it with the main character, we also do it with Kevin, that could carry it off.
And did it so well. I could see automatically, I was like, in the eyes, I was like, that's, yep.
Yeah. And at the top of the third chapter is jarring, because you see Trevante Rhodes and you think, is that the same guy?
Because he's so physically.
But then he's so physically different on the exterior, but on the interior, it's the same guy.
So I said, I think I turned to my mom and went, oh, he's still a softie. Look, like, oh,
exactly.
He's like so emotionally vulnerable.
Exactly.
And so what inspired you to come up with the story? Is it?
Yeah. So it actually, it was based on, started as a play by my very good friend now, Terrell Alvin McCraney. He wrote a piece called In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue. He wrote it in like 2003.
Oh, wow.
And I think about 4 years ago, a mutual friend of ours, because I didn't know him at the time, sent it to me. And the connection was, both our moms went through the struggle with addiction that you see played by Naomi Harris in the film. And this guy was like, I think you should read this. I think there might be a film in it. And that was how it all started.
So it's semi-autobiographical to do with the mom?
Yeah, I say for me, it's that part is very semi-autobiographical. I think Terrell, though, it's like, it's more his life that the story is.
Well, yeah, because that was amazingly portrayed. And so you said 2003 was when you found the play. What was the production story like? How long was it?
No. So he wrote it in 2003. I found it in maybe like 2012, or it found me, I should say.
Okay.
And it was kind of like a really fortunate experience. I went to Brussels to write the script in August of 2013. And then a few weeks later, I went to this festival in Telluride, Colorado, and your countryman, Steve McQueen, his film, 12 Years a Slave, was world premiering there. And I do what you do at Telluride. I introduce films, I do Q&As. And Plan B was the producer of 12 Years a Slave. And they were like, hey, we haven't seen you in a while, because I made this movie in 2008 called Medicine for Melancholy. It was like no budget feature. And they're like, oh, what are you working on now? And I had the script for Moonlight.
Well,
and then 3 years later, with Plan B as producer, we premiered this film at that same festival. So it was a very privileged, fortunate experience.
But it organically kind of happened.
It kind of just fell together.
And do you always write movies beginning with M? Is that going to be a theme?
No, you know,
your thing.
No,
be like
the
your
next thing I'm working on is Colson Whitehead's book, The Underground Railroad. There are no M's anywhere in that.
Oh, okay,
so.
Yeah, that's a different. Yeah, okay, switching up for the third time, so people don't get.
Exactly.
I can't see you coming. I like that.
No, the thing that's been happening is, you know, Richard Linklater made the Before Sunset movies. Then I made a movie about a one-night stand, Medicine for Melancholy. It's just walking and talking. Then Linklater made Boyhood. And then I made Moonlight, which is kind of, in some circles, considered like the black kind of Boyhood. So that's the one to look out for. Am I going to keep following Richard Linklater?
Actually, that's weird. My dad said that when we were watching, because I watched it with my parents, and my dad went, oh, this is a bit like Boyhood. But
You know, the good thing is I had written this before I saw Boyhood. It's just one of those series of fortunate incidents, because I love Richard's work, so it's a compliment for sure.
Well, I think it's more the growing up, seeing the character over such a space of time, and did you have the look and the sound, like the soundtrack was amazing, and the look of the film is really, like, you've really color wise whacked up the color and
you know, one of the cool things about the process of making this film is, you know, the cinematographer was my college roommate. Light. You know, he shot first feature. We went to film school together. Both the editors also went to film school with me, and the main producer, Adela Romansky. So, you know, it was a very intimate process. Yeah. And so some of these things, like the color and the sound, sometimes as a director, you imagine something that you have to explain over and over again how to translate that imagination into reality. With this case, because I knew these collaborators so well, the distance between my thoughts and the actual execution of them, it was quite short. You know, they just understood the language I was speaking. So you're right, the movie does have a very particular visual palette.
It's got a stamp on it, isn't it?
Like, yeah. And the soundscape, especially the music cues, some of those things are written into the script. I think music is very important in cinema. So I'm glad that all those things are of a piece.
Especially the classical was such a good contrast to like gangland in Florida.
How
long did it take to film? Was it the shooting one?
Oh no, the shoot was pretty fast. It was 25 days.
Oh wow, that's really
It was pretty fast. It was 25 days in the fall of 2015, and so it was actually a pretty fast process because we shot the film October-November 2015 and we premiered at Telluride August of 2016. So very compact process.
I think this film is going to be absolutely, well, it is being applauded, but especially for anybody who, because there has been a number of really substantial gay love stories, like Brokeback Mountain or that, but having from this particular part of the world and minority, it's probably even harder if you're in such a man's gangland.
No, it's interesting. Like, I think a character like our main character, if they appear in a narrative, they're often, you know, they're on the margins of it and not at the center of it. You know, I think the beauty of this film is, you know, it reflects the life that Terrell McCraney, the playwright, lived. And so it's inherently intersectional and it's inherently of the place that we set it. But what I love is I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, and people write me notes all the time. You know, people of all different shades and ethnicities, but usually like young black men, write me expressing, you know, how thankful they are to have the film because they've never seen themselves reflected in arts and letters. And this movie makes them feel just a little less voiceless.
Yeah, it was so strong because I think movie has incredible power. And it is like when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, so my brother's autistic and so many young autistic people said, finally, there's a superhero that is like me. It's like very autistically, very literal, and seeing yourself or someone that you can relate to on screen is amazing. And I was just thinking, I was like, I'm not a gay man, but I still could empathize and be like, wow, this would be so powerful for somebody who was ever in a position where they felt they couldn't be themselves.
And
they see such strong people on stage.
And my hope is even beyond that. You know, I think we, you know, I'll speak in London terms, you know, we sit on the tube all the time and we might see someone who looks like our main character sitting across from us or sitting next to us. And we think, oh, I can't relate to that person. My life is nothing like that person's life. And I think if you watch this movie, you know, it's meant to replicate the feeling of walking a mile in our main character's shoes. And you see this person is fundamentally human. You know, they have a past. They yearn for things. You know, they hurt. And I think that's those common human elements, those human emotions, you know, I think they unite us. And so as much as I want people who can see themselves in the character to see the film, I think also too there's something there for people who are nothing like this character.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. It was like a big, so well done. I was like a huge well done. I loved it.
Thank you very much. But let the record show this is radio, but she like very lightly clapped her hands together.
I don't make too much sound. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your time in London.
Thank you, much love.
And are you hungover still from the BAFTAs or no?
No, I think I'm all right.
So that was Barry Jenkins, director, amazing writer of Moonlight. He's so lovely.
He's going to have a big future, that guy.
I think so. I, like, yeah, really, like, when I met him, really young, super, I don't know what I was expecting. Not young, but...
Yeah, it's true, yeah, he's really cool, man.
But, yeah, it was just so easy. And so was Terrell as well, who originally wrote the play that movie came from, so it's super cool.
Oh, you met him too? He was there?
I did two different days and two different interviews, so it was fun. Lucy Patterson's back in the studio.
Yeah,
hey.
Come
back. Lucy's back.
Yeah.
Back again. yes, so what has everyone been watching in this last week of February?
I actually got quite a lot watched this week.
You did?
Good. I did. Last night I saw Patriots Day.
The Mark
Wahlberg-Peter Berg combination. Yeah. It's the story of the Boston Marathon bombings in 2013.
Yeah. Very recently.
Yeah, see, now that was one of my observations. I'm not going to say it was in bad taste. taste, because he handled, Peter Berg handles a lot of true stories and disasters and things, and he handles them very well, but obviously I wasn't there, so you know, and there has been a bit of backlash from people that were there. You know, it was a horrendous thing that happened, you know, and it wasn't just telling the story of what happened on that day, it was how they eventually caught the perpetrators.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's public knowledge that one of them is still in prison and awaiting execution at the moment.
Yes.
But the sheer determination and the way they found these people, you know, it was absolutely amazing. And the whole story is acted beautifully. There's real footage also spliced in there as well, you know, some CCTV footage and some news pieces that went out, you know, after the days after it happened. And actually, when they finally catch him, there's real stills of the one that was still alive that they call, you know.
In the boat.
Yeah, as he was coming out of the boat, he's edited in stills in there, and it really sort of hits you, really does. You know, it was a horrendous thing that happened. You know, three people died, but the amount of injuries, you know, people lost limbs and things like that. And like I said before, you know, there was backlash from certain people, and some people even decided, you know, I don't want to be depicted in this film at all.
Some of the families.
I mean, it came from a book that was written. I mean, I don't know how soon that book was written. You know, it is
what,
all...
From one of the victims.
Yeah. Mm. It all is a bit too soon. But it, as usual, Peter Berg and Mark Wahlberg, they make a good film. They do. Deepwater Horizon, Lone Survivor, which is in my top 10 films of all time. I absolutely love that film. Yeah. Obviously, it completely destroyed me because I cry at everything. there was interviews at the end with some of the victims, interviews with the real policemen that were there at the time. One thing that surprised me, though, was Mark Wahlberg. I thought his character was real because he usually does portray a real person, you know, that was at the centre of the story
and the
hero. He was, they said he was an amalgamation of, you know, lots of police officers that were on the scene and that, and, you know, he did a really, really good job. I would say it's not really a cinema jobby,
no,
but I would watch it because it's a history lesson, you know, and it's so heartwarming how the whole of Boston, you know, they came together, and when they finally arrested the one that was still alive, as the ambulance came into the hospital, there was crowds and crowds of people applauding, you know, and cheering for the police that they got. I mean, that's absolutely lovely thing to see. You don't really hear of that, do you? But it was a good film. I would probably wait till it's on the TV, but, you know, definitely see it.
I wondered that with whether or not there should be some sort of, like, film respect law,
where, like an embargo for a certain amount of time, where
there's like a terrorist thing, you just one generation before you dramatize it and add the glamour of Hollywood, because you can always make a documentary.
And I mean, the thing is with his films is they've always got such a documentary style. There's a lot of, it looks like, I don't know whether it was, but it looks like there's a lot of handheld camera work. It's a lot of documentary style editing, and, you know, they look like they should be all over the place, but they're not. You know, he makes a really good film, but you're right, it was a bit too early.
I think if you just left it a generation, then it's not so, because I was like, is it... There's other things that we can do Hollywood drama to, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. I just felt it's just been very close, isn't it? It's just like, God, that was that turnaround.
I know. Boston,
well, I think I'm still living in like 2012, so it just seems so quick.
I know.
Yeah, it is.
But
it was.
But it's just a bit too quick.
Yeah, it was a bit too quick.
So it didn't really appeal to me. Like,
they're sore subjects.
I can watch Titanic. Subjects.
Yeah, because, you know, and generations and generations ago.
Like, oh my gosh, this was real. Yeah. But nobody I know anyone that was on the Titanic.
Exactly, whereas, you know, they're all still generations of their family, and the people that were there are still alive. You know, he waited, I think, about 5 years with Deepwater Horizon, and I think even that was too soon. Lone Survivor, I think, was about 8 or 9 years, and, you know, quite near the mark, but I think, like you said, it was
also
another generation by then.
Because these terrorist attacks, the war on terrors is not, if anything, it's sort of slightly escalating. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's helping making more movies about putting the
I think these films like this are about the human story, and they're about the you know, I haven't seen this one, but, you know, about the people that are affected, you know, because there's some there are some sad stories in there.
They
haven't made a movie about the London bombings, have they?
No,
I don't think anyone would have the bottle to be fair. You know, I think that would be in very bad taste. But then what's the difference between
just
the two?
Same thinking. Thing. Yeah. One was they're both bombs.
Yeah.
Bomb movies.
Yeah.
One's at a marathon, one's on our tube system. So,
I know.
Yeah. Don't know about that one.
No.
Okay, have you seen anything this week, Noel?
Me? What have I seen this week? I watched Luke Cage.
Ooh.
Luke, what's that?
Luke Cage on Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah, the whole show of Luke Cage on Netflix.
What are we thinking?
And I liked it. I liked it, but I definitely thought it was the weakest of the Marvel shows.
Really?
Which disappointed me,
yeah,
because it's the black show.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not that I'm just pro-black all the time, but I definitely wanted it to be good. And actually, it was probably the weakest of the Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was looking at the writing and I'm like, I can write a better show than this. I don't know why they didn't call me.
But you haven't.
Yeah, I know. But it was still good. I still enjoyed it, but I was just, you know, disappointed, you know, about that. And so, yeah. But Luke Cage is on Netflix now. So if you still like superhero shows, you should check that out.
We've just been intercepted with a email. It says, "Hey, Noel, I'd be interested to know your thoughts on Joseph Fiennes, I got it right first time.
Well done.
Playing Michael Jackson on the show that was banned. I'm black and I can see why people would be offended, but I wanted to make my own mind up and watch it. I've had a ponder and I can't think of any black actor who could have played a later Michael. Barney in London."
Have you actually seen the picture of him as Michael Jackson?
Well, no. Barney.
It's terrible. It's bad.
Well, Barney, I'm actually, weirdly, this is a bit awkward. I'm actually not allowed to comment on that, actually, because I'm actually in one of those shows. I was in the Muhammad Ali one, playing Muhammad Ali on Sky.
Which you can still watch on Catch Up, by the way.
Me playing the greatest of all time. And so I'm actually not allowed to comment on that. Oh. I think it's one of those things that made a lot of noise in the press.
Has it been out yet?
And no, they pulled it. They completely pulled it. They pulled the whole show.
Yeah.
Why did they pull it?
Because I need you to probably Google it and show it. Okay. And
Joe Fiennes plays Michael Jackson, and Joe Fiennes is a white actor, and Michael Jackson was a black man.
Yeah.
But Michael Jackson was a black man who had white skin.
I'm not allowed to comment.
By the point that this was depicted, he had white skin.
I've just seen the picture.
I think probably because of the I don't even know what to say about it.
They didn't quite get him.
No.
Did they? No.
No, no.
But then the thing is, would it be more offensive to have a black actor
with
whited up?
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Noel can't comment.
No. Both looking at Noel, come on, talk.
But it is, because he was, obviously, Michael Jackson was black, but he was also, colour-wise, technically white.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you...
So and he had surgery to make all his features Caucasian.
Yeah, yeah.
So visually he looks so. Absolutely. It makes sense that. I mean, okay. Well, then why, if you can have an American person playing an English or an English playing, you can play different.
Yeah.
Where you're from, different places, but you can't. Okay. Yeah. No, yeah. You really can't.
This
can
is
you?
Like a minefield.
It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the tough one. But they pulled the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Somebody somewhere must have a copy of that. Do you think it's going to leak out onto the internet somewhere?
Surely.
No, Sky would have made sure that was
locked it down.
What we've got here?
Hey guys, I've just got Netflix and I want to watch it all weekend. What TV show and films do you recommend that
Sons
I start
of Anarchy,
with?
Sons of Anarchy.
Joy,
Sons of Anarchy.
You are not going to leave your television this weekend because, firstly, Lucy's right. Sons of Anarchy. But if you have not seen Breaking Bad, Joy.
Oh, yeah.
You need to watch a show called Breaking Bad. That is your show. That's going to be three seasons, and you need to watch Breaking Bad. That is the show you need to watch. If you're a Netflix virgin and you're going to pop your cherry,
start with that. Bad.
Well, actually, I was doing a bit of a Netflix review. I got into the series Sense8.
Oh, I always scroll past that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I heard.
And Melamine's in that from Kiddo, great actor.
Yeah. I heard. And also, who you work with, Doctor Who Girl.
Karen. Freeman. Freeman. That's right.
Basically, it was because I heard about it when I was researching. It was the same guys who wrote The Matrix, the Wachowski brothers.
They're not siblings. Brothers. The
Wachowski siblings.
The Wachowskis. Yeah.
Lana and Lena or something.
I can't help you with that one.
I can't remember her name. Mm. I think it's Lana and Lyle or Lisa.
They're both ladies now.
Yeah, both ladies. Yeah. Which makes Sense8 you can kind of, a lot of the stories. So basically, it's one of those ones, it's written by The Matrix, so obviously this is not one to have in the background. This is one when you want to sit down with food and stuff and like...
Pay attention,
mm-hmm. because it is quite hard. Mm. But essentially...
I might get a takeaway tonight.
Yeah. It's about... it starts off with this woman in a church, and she's a druggie, but she's also giving birth, but...
Nice.
Not physically, giving birth, like... telepathically. It's this weird thing where basically you can be reborn,
right,
and you can be connected to 8 other people in the world, so they have 8 parallel running storylines,
hence the Sense8.
Sense8 and it's these complete strangers are linked by a telepathic bond because they're all siblings in the telepath world. So you've got a guy who's in Africa, you've got a girl who is in China, you've got an English girl, you've got... It's all over the world.
Yeah.
And what they can do is they have this weird experience. They don't know about the other people. They just keep suddenly one of them going, I can smell curry. And then you'll cut to in India. And then they can also swap bodies and have an out of body experience. And then now that I've got to episode 3 and now they're learning about each other. And they're learning that they can switch between, so they can help. So one guy in Africa, he had to take on a gang, and he didn't know how to fight. So he body swapped with the girl who's a cage fighter in China, and so she thought swap body. Mm. So it's kind of cool.
Sounds good.
Really edgy, really good actors. So far, I'm like, I can get on board with this. I don't understand all of it, but it's a bit very Matrixy. And so if you like that sort of sci-fi,
there's 2 seasons I think so far.
I'm starting and I'm on series episode 3.
It's on my list.
Yeah, I keep hearing about
it,
but
it is good, and it's a lot of money I think went into it. You can tell when you do sci-fi, you need to have a bit of budget.
Oh, definitely.
And so far, like, really good. I'm like, I love Freeman's performance. She plays this really cool American lesbian.
Wow. Oh yeah, Freeman's great, man. I love Freeman.
Her girlfriend gets sectioned and she's trying to like help her her out and help her escape. And
little weird fact about that, we got married in Doctor Who and people think we're married in real life. No. Some people think we're married in real life. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Really?
Wow. Oh, we've got another in the email coming in. So hey Noel, I'm sad you never got to be in Girls.
Me too.
Riz Ahmed was in a few weeks ago and was amazing. Would you be up for working with Lena Dunham?
Lena Dunham, Rosie. Lena. Yeah, mate, I'm sad I never got to meet Girls. I was a big champion of Girls when Girls came on. I love Girls, and I would have loved to have been in that show. I think it's done now. Riz, I love, is a good mate of mine, and so happy for him. But I would have loved to have been in it, and I would love to work with Lena Dunham.
Riz Ahmed's popping up everywhere.
I absolutely love him.
Like a daffodil. Noel, Carry On Films or Hammer Horrors, which is your favourite, Mark?
Well, Marky, mate, I wouldn't say favourite because they're both very different, but I guess Hammer Horror.
Yeah.
You know, kind of when you watch the Carry On films now, they're not... Not that I'm a PC nut, I'm not very PC, like I don't have to be one of those guys that everything's PC, but those films are treading a line.
Yeah, they are.
They're treading a line when you watch them now, so I have to go Hammer Horror. Anyway, what else did you watch, Luce? What else you got for us?
I watched The Founder.
What's that?
That's McDonald's.
It's the story of McDonald's.
Yeah, man. Fucking tell me about that.
Now, I kept seeing it because I know it's been nominated for at least one Oscar. Can't actually tell you what for, but it's been nominated for at least one Oscar. It's got Michael Keaton in it.
Nice.
And it is basically the story of how McDonald's became the monster that it is. I mean, who doesn't know McDonald's?
Yeah.
It's all over the world. I mean, I can't remember the top statistics because I'm terrible. But, you know, it's massive. Everyone's got McDonald's in their life.
I love a dirty quarter pounder with cheese.
Oh, me too. Me too. I'll tell you what, it was surprising. I can't really go into much of it because it'll be a lot of spoilers, but the way it was started, you know, as this family business. It was the McDonald's brothers.
And he's not one of them. He's a Crockett or something.
He's a Croc. Name is.
I've read this in Fast Food Nation.
Yeah, and I knew none of this.
Yeah.
I knew none of this. I was thinking, oh, it's just someone called McDonald.
I thought it was Ronald McDonald, the cow.
I know. Brothers.
And he had a milkshake company or something, didn't he?
He sold the mixer, the magic mixer things that mix the milkshakes, and he went to sell them a few, and he saw this revolutionary, you know, kitchen set up that they had, you know, the original fast food, and that's where it came from. And he was like, why are you guys not franchising this? You're absolutely mad. And he took it and ran with
it. Bought it often, didn't he?
There was a lot of skullduggery and you know, a lot of cutting people out of things, and you know, it's actually quite a sad story, you know, but a real human interest story because it's so massive in everybody's lives. I really enjoyed it. Brilliantly acted by Michael Keaton. He was amazing. Watch it, definitely.
I will do.
I mean, I would even say go to the cinema to see it because it's just
is
that
it
enjoyable.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm going to watch that. FYI, I didn't get any Oscar nominations, so you were slightly incorrect there, my darling.
Misinformed. Whoopsie.
Are you sure?
Positive. Well, the producers are
you get the little
in the
messages
cloud.
On the thing.
Man, oh yeah, it's right in front of my face. Oh.
Oh well.
Maybe I just wished Michael Keaton did because he was so good.
He is good.
He is very good.
McDonald's. Yeah, I mean, everyone remembers like McDonald's is.
Do you know what though?
Exactly.
Like, who honestly doesn't like a McDonald's here?
Exactly.
And there? I'm not saying
like
it, you know.
Not but all
do you
the
know?
Time, but, you
I'm
know.
Never. I'm never. Drawn, never tempted. I could walk past 1,000 McDonald's.
Me too.
I could. I would fall into a bakery and eat everything inside it. But McDonald's, I'm okay.
I must admit, you know, even though it was quite a sad story, you know, it didn't put me off it. It just made me want to go and get a McDonald's.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
straight out for a double cheeseburger.
You should get a McDonald's while you're watching it.
Totally. Take a McDonald's in the cinema.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the cinema.
Hide it in your bag.
That's one of my favourite things to do with friends is where you eat what you watch.
Yeah.
So I used to watch Breaking Bad and we'd go and get...
Some crystal meth.
No. Meth was the... That was for pudding. But first we'd have chicken. So we always watch the Polos... Hermanda's chicken. And I was like, man, I want some fried chicken. So we'd sit there with chicken, or if we're watching a western, we'd make like a stew, mashed potatoes.
Beans.
So you eat along with what you're watching.
That's such a good idea.
We watch Mad Men with like cocktails and canapés.
Oh yeah,
just not a little bad idea for a little cinema chain, you know.
Yeah,
it's what is super geeky, but I like amazing. You feel really involved in what you're watching because you're. It's also where I worked out I was allergic to pistachios.
Oh. Excellent.
What film were you watching?
I was watching Mad Men and we had pistachios and cocktails. And next thing I knew, I turned around, my boyfriend was like, darling, your face. And my face was like this
like
big.
Like the big tomato out of Blade.
And it was red. And like, I just went to the, and he was like, don't no. look.
Like, oh no.
It was huge. And I was like, I think it was the pistachio. So yeah,
oh,
doesn't always go to plan that.
I might bring some in next week so we can test that theory.
But yeah,
that's not very nice.
I found that little tidbit. If anyone's going out, because last week I reviewed 50 Shades of Darker.
Yeah,
is it good?
Better than the first one. Yeah, there's more story
I think
in this
anything's
one. There's
better
more,
than the first one.
There's
be
more
fair.
Stuff going on.
Is it sexy?
No, I was really disappointed with there was I didn't learn anything. I was like, this is an 18.
It's supposed to be sexy, though. Not
I know, he's like, he's like, his version of bondage was, I'm going to tie your legs down.
Whoa, calm down, mate.
It's like, really?
Really? No.
Okay. But there is an extra scene. So I just legged out of cinema on the way out, but everyone's talking about this whole extra montage.
What, like a post-credits thing?
Yeah, post-credits.
Missed.
I missed it, and apparently it's her in a wedding dress.
Oh.
And like this whole montage thing. And it's still like till death do us part, and then boom, and like
drama.
All stuff. So, if you're gonna go see 50 Shades Darker, make sure you stay to the end to see all the extra bits and bits and bobs. Oh, someone says, "Hey, JJ and Noel, shall I have a pizza or Chinese for dinner? You've made me need to take home." Well, it depends what you're watching.
Yeah,
if you're watching Shanghai Nights, go for Chinese. If you're gonna watch something in a New York, go for a pizza.
I gotta say, you gotta go for pizza all day long, man.
Yeah.
You gotta go for pizza all day long. Get a nice large, and if they got a deal where you get one free, and have it in the morning as well. In the oven, in the morning.
Pizza for
mate,
breakfast,
all day.
Lovely.
Go on, Gavin. Go on,
weekend.
My son. Get that pizza.
Right, the weekend is about to begin. Thank you so much, Lucy. Next
thank
week,
you for having me.
I'm gonna be going to see King Kong.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
In the week, we're gonna end with Stormzy. We're gonna
oh,
end.
We love it.
We're gonna end with Stormzy.
Stormzy. Guys, have a good week.
Yeah, have an amazing weekend. And we're going to be back. Are you back next week, Noel?
I'm filming Inside Number 9, so I'm not sure.
What's
I'm
that?
Not sure. Am I supposed to tell you that? I've told you now. Inside Number 9 with Reese Shearsmith.
Is that
season 4?
Number 9 a code name for a girl? Or?
No, that's the name of the show. It's a good show.
Dirty.
Inside, that's like, that's.
So I'll be on set. So I'm not sure if I'll be here next week.
Right, okay. But yeah. maybe soon. Well, thanks. Okay, here we go. This is Mr.
Skeng.
Mr. Skeng by
Stormzy.
My
man.
We'll see you next week. Bye, Ryan Chill.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yo. Watching up my call, Mr. Skeng. Check 1-2 man skits again. Get you in a get crew getting gassed up by your niggas. Get friends, it's like the man woke up zip again. If I buck these niggas again, I got goons and you got goons, but the difference is your kid pretends and minds looking don't talk or rap. No minds looking don't talk or clash. No minds looking don't talk, they mash. Off boys, man, you're talking smack. They said Stormzy can't be the king of grime, cause I don't do radio sets. Let's be real, rude boy, I would light up a radio set. Like really, I can't stand these costume bricks. I don't care about your
fucking whip. Mum, if you're listening, close your ears. But tell them pagans I smuggled, I've had enough of them. They all pissed me off. Had one chance, they missed the shush. I link up flips, then we burn your bridge, then we laugh about it and split the prof. Call me Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Check 1-2, man, skits again. Dickhead Drew and a dickhead crew getting gassed up by your dickhead friends. I think I just got dissed again. Think I care who this offends. Run up on my lap, Bill, with a slap that Drew on the fence. And I can still get a box imported. Said, don't worry about the beef, it's sorted. My man said he's a real new snutter. Then my brother said, wow, that's awkward. My man's never been bad, that's bitch rude. 2 weeks in the top 10, who called it? Christmas, I went to all the corporates. Like, big up the ones that bought it. I do rap, then I do gram, then I do rap, then I sing, then I go right back. They said, you ain't gonna blow like that. Who gives a fuck, you know, like that? Ice in my cup, come cold like that. Whoa, we ain't even close like that. You know my style, know my stats. Don't talk bad if you don't talk facts. If I sign out, what's the buyout clause? One top 10, 5 sold out tours. Might fling a mixtape out when I'm bored. My life's okay, how about yours? Brother, I'm good, I stay with the Lord. Bible carrier, that's my source. Matthew 12, so I don't talk. John 19's where I never got caught. Look, call me Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Check 1-2, man, skits again. Dickhead Drew and the dickhead crew getting gassed up by your dickhead friends. Back now, damn, I've missed the pen. Had one, Josh, you missed the pen. Bad mind use for their bad mind ways. What they wish for me, I don't wish for them. I don't penny them fools. Never been told. Rumming phones outside Elliot School. Let me get a little bit of penny, I'm cool. Many have come, but many do fall away. What, you thought I was the one? I was 14 trying to buy me a gun. What's the you doing what I did back then? So now I thank God for the guy I've become. That's Josh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Check 1-2, man, skits again. Dickhead Drew and the dickhead crew getting gassed up by your dickhead friends, yes, Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Check 1-2, man, skits again. Dickhead Drew and the dickhead crew getting gassed up by your dickhead friends, yes, Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng, yes, Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. Bosh, not Michael, Mr. Skeng. You had one, Bosh, and you missed the pen, and that's flex, eh?